Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. It is 2 p.m. We're in the BCC conference room for general discussion. Item number one is to delegate signing authority to Commissioner Hare to sign timber sale contracts.
Let's wait for Commissioner Morgan to join.
Yep, Commissioner Morgan is here. Commissioner Hare is here. Commissioner DeYoung is here. Item number one, delegate signing authority to Commissioner Hare to sign timber sale contracts.
I'm just trying to buy myself some time. You walk too fast. So today we had a timber sale, and to expedite the process of people getting on the ground, I was going to request the board to delegate me as a liaison to the forestry program to sign with the forester's signature as well. We had six timber sales. You can come up and talk about them.
Yes, if you would, please.
We had six total timber sales.
Today?
Okay. Three of them sold. If all six had sold, it was about 15 to 16 million board feet. We sold about 10 million board feet. So the three that went no bid, I am going to continue to try and negotiate and get purchasers and or contractors on those sales and try to get that volume moved as well. But I'm going to have to get creative to do it. Right now, what I'm hearing is the facilities don't want to commit to taking the wood, but even if we can get them to commit to like 30-day purchase agreements, so maybe they only take 30 days worth, maybe we can find a contractor to go out and log for 30 days, deliver at least what they can, and maybe 30 days turns into 60 days, but anything we can get off the ground is better than it standing there rotting.
Okay, what kind of time frame after a fire of this magnitude, what's our time frame to getting that? Does it lose value every day that it stands? Or does it kind of go a year without before the beetles move in? Or
it's really variable. A lot of it just depends on its location in the fire. Typically the bugs will work from the outside in to the fire, you know, get the damaged stuff on the edge and then work its way in. Depends on when the burn happened compared to when the emergence is of the beetles from the previous homes they were in. Unfortunately, a lot of this burnt in July and emergence typically in August, so bugs are out. You know, so bugs very well could start to get
so
in this
material. So they could move to, not greener pastures, but they could move to this vulnerable timber and start boring right away.
Correct.
They go right back in? When they emerge, do they go and do they just go find another host?
Yeah, they'll find the nearest host they can find and get in there and start burrowing. The other factor, obviously, is with heat, you start to get surface checking. So you'll lose, like, the rind on the wood if it starts to crack and becomes unusable. Rot, obviously, things of that. Time with salvage is definitely of the essence.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Are we, like, first in line as far as salvage? Putting those things up for sale in comparison to other entities that had damage, other private stands?
We are very close to being in the front of the line. I did hear that Hancock does have some salvage logs flowing right now, but that is the only ones that I've heard flowing other than what we sold today.
Any reason, particular reason why the others didn't? You said you had six sales and only three of them went?
I think part of it was
accessibility or
the facilities committing to too much wood. I think some of the facilities have their own lands that got damaged in other fires and want to make sure that their burnt logs are the first one in line and not anybody else's. And so that might have, you know, shooed some of them off, and there may have been pre-arrangements made with other landowners with specific facilities to take their damaged logs. Swanson Group bought two of our bigger sales, probably around 8 million feet today, and CLR Timber Holdings, which is South Coast Lumber, bought the other one about 2 million feet.
Okay.
The other three, like I said, the facilities may have been nervous about overcommitting to too much salvage volume. And I don't know that they're extending commitments to other smaller purchasers that may be interested in buying this material. So I've got to do some legwork in the next couple days to see if I can get some facilities to maybe commit to taking some wood, even if it's on a 30-day basis or whatever I can do. Even if it's one or two loads of logs, it's better than not standing on the stump and rotting.
So, Mr. Chair, I would make a motion that we delegate Commissioner Hare and our forester, Mr. Streeter, to sign these contracts on behalf of the county.
I second that.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye, aye, aye. Motion carries 3-0. You're all set. And Commissioner Hare, if you could sign, I think he's got the paperwork there right now, so we can get that done, then Mr. Streeter can get on his way.
There's three in each.
Oh, okay. So the other issue that I had, we can do that afterwards.
Good work on that, Mr. Streeter, getting there in the front of the pack, because I think there's going to be an awful lot of a lot of people involved in that.
It was one of the questions Congressman Walden had on Friday as far as what's going to happen, how long is it going to take, and so I said we were moving on this.
Yeah. So I did a lot of upfront work on these, getting BLM roads all organized, Forest Service roads all organized. I filed the notifications with the state. So basically everything's pretty much ready to go. I suspect within the next 2 weeks we'll have harvest operations going on these sales. So we won't by any stretch get all of the wood, but we're going to get all that we can.
Probably a good idea to do that before the rain set in, because of erosion or whatnot won't get blamed on us.
Yeah. We do have provisions in the contract to afford purchaser credit for roads that are built and or rocked, but they have to be okayed by our department in advance of being done. If they're not okayed by our department in advance, the purchasers can do it at their sole expense.
Right.
I tried to build in as much flexibility to get this wood moved as I could possibly do.
Thank you very much, Mr. Streeter.
Good work, you bet.
Unfortunately, I have to, because this is next year's sales program.
It's not the ideal situation.
It is not. And
not what we want for our forestry program, but it's something that has to be done.
I will try and get a summary put together for all of you here today or tomorrow of kind of what's happened with this stuff and break it down to the numbers. But I did some quick and dirty math this morning, and if you take the dollars that we got bid on this spring sales versus the dollars we got bid on this stuff, it made about, if we'd have gotten the bids we got this spring, it made about $3.5 million impact loss. Mm-hmm. Just in the dollars per thousand. So
are they similar in terrain and, you know, harvestability and stuff? These aren't any harder than the other ones?
That would take a lot more analysis.
Okay.
I'd have to sit down and break down the amount of ground-based harvesting.
And over 1,800 acres, the variety of what the landscape looks like is hard to compare apples and apples to.
Right, that's
specific
what I was,
sections.
Yeah, and we're going to be working with the purchasers, you know, with a logging plan and laying it all out going forward, try to harvest everything we can off the ground and cable log everything that we can.
Because I think, you know, at some point in time, somebody's going to compile the impacts of these fires, you know, and it just seems to kind of go, well, that's the way it goes. But it does have an impact on our budget.
Huge impact.
Just let it go. But I think those days are gone. It's the old let it go and take it on the chin again and again and again and again.
What's different about this season than the Douglas complex is that there was 2,600 acres of our lands impacted, I think, in that fire, 1,100 of which is what we really were able to put up for sale and merchant. This one, we put up a lot more for sale, but there's been, if you look at the stand age of this, it was in the queue to probably be harvested at some point in the near future, as opposed to there was stuff on the Douglas complex that was still 40, 50 there was nowhere close. So at least some of this has value, whereas what I'm saying is the other fire, we just took a loss. There was no value there. And we're gonna have to pay to reforest and stuff like that, so.
Now if for instance, just, and this is just for my own information, if for instance we would have sold these three stands of timber last year and they hadn't harvested them up there and the fire goes through there, what happens then?
We would have entered negotiations with the timber purchaser on that particular contract to see if they wanted to salvage it or not. And there is no requirement in our contract that requires them. They don't take ownership of it till they sever it from the stone.
Till it's down.
Till they put a saw into it, so it's ours until then. Like Commissioner Hare just elaborated, thank goodness this was salvageable material, because between age 0 or 1 and age 50, you just take it on the chin. You eat all of that investment.
You lost the investment, all the growth time.
Yes.
And you pay to reforest it.
And you pay to reforest it.
Or maybe if you're reducing, you know, if it's 30, 40 years old, you might have to go in there and remove some of that debris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? It's up to him to write the prescription of what it looks like to reforest it. And it's every slope, every whatever is going to be different. So.
Well, good work.
Thank you.
Good work. We got what we could out of it.
And thanks for your help getting these back out and getting the wood moving as quickly as possible.
One of the other benefits of just having him and I is the fact that if there's an amendment to this contract, it doesn't require coming back. I don't know if you guys said that or not.
No, but I would support that when it comes to.
That's a big deal.
We did that in the last policy.
Yeah.
So the policy should be standing that amendments go through him anyhow.
Okay. Yep, sounds good. Item number two is non-union. Thank you, Dave. Item number two is non-union insurance update. JJ and Arthur, are you here or are you just...
You might as well come up.
Might as well come up because it's probably going to be some questions.
All right. So what I have for you is a series of different insurance structures. A is what I initially came to the board forward with a few weeks ago. And there was concern over that. And so we went through process and I came with what I thought was a compromise, and that was a week ago. That's B. And then yesterday we took a vote of the non-union employees and said, well, what would you like? What do you think is a good plan? And that's what C is. So that was what was recommended yesterday. And you can see the cost to what that plan would be. And then employee only, employee spouse, employee and children, employee family. The four different types. Employee family.
What's it, EC?
Employee children.
So it's like a parent with one kid.
Or multiple kids.
Or Wendy. Yeah.
Or a Wendy. Okay.
Or it could be a parent with, it just knows
people.
No, that was my bad. I was just giving him examples so he understood what it meant.
He knows what a parent and a kid looks like.
Yeah. So we have, the employee family is a spouse and kids. Employee spouse is no kids, and employee child is one parent and children.
Yes. So C is what was recommended by the employee populace as a whole, and that is at a cost of $117,000. And so I put together some other options that are with intention to be as close to that as possible. If the board's willing to accept C, that's great. If they're not, there's some other options for you to consider. So item D is the exact same structure as C, except for current contribution for employee only instead of contribution plus inflation. Item D is current contribution for, is current contribution for employee only plus a little bit lower contribution for employee family and employee children. And of note is in option E, although the dollar amounts are different for employee spouse and employee children, they're about the same level of benefit. Employee and spouse is a more expensive benefit than employee and children, just as the nature of children cost less than spouses in the world of healthcare. And then the last option is a little bit lower contribution for employee only, and a lower contribution for employee children, and a little lower contribution for employee family. And you can see the requisite costs for those options. So the employee base recommended number C, but there's a few other options if you are interested. And at the very bottom of the page I gave, here are the rates the different bargaining units have for their insurance for reference purposes.
And what are those? Sheriff is $1,600 and FOPO is what? The current amounts.
Well, I have a percentage based on what they pay.
I want to say FOPO was like $1,371.
Yeah, that's what the average cost.
And Sheriff is about $1,600.
I believe so.
Is how much the employer
pays.
We as a county are paying on behalf of each employee.
Yeah, they're paying 20%, but the employer is paying, like FOPO, the
1370, I believe, is what it is.
Depending on what they pick, of course. That's kind of an average, because they have multiple choices like we do. Cedar, dogwood, fir, evergreen.
Yeah. So today's really about making a final determination on what the board is willing to approve. So I guess we'll start with what the employees voted on yesterday, which is option C. So that is an inflationary increase for employee only, and a tiered for the other three groups. And the cost of that over the initial option is $117,000.
So regardless, in my opinion, of what plan we're picking right now, at, you know, for whatever reason, the 11th hour, it should be your guys, my goal is to buy ourselves a year with not the most ideal situation. There's a lot of discussions about where the health benefits packages should go for the exempt or the non-union, and they really need to re-galvanize, put together their committee, and sit down with you know, people who know, and look around and say, you know, the objectives is for us to be competitive, to provide some balance and compensation. Different people have different objectives. I know I've spoken with some that they like the objective of, it doesn't matter, I'm hiring you. I'm not hiring anything else you're bringing to the table on a personal sense. And so it's really defined when and I kind of like that myself personally, but I can see arguments as to why, you know, we might need to look outside or adjust that. But when I hire somebody, they cost me $1,000 a month or so for health insurance, and everything else doesn't matter. But it does now, because you can't necessarily use your extra savings if your plan actually only costs you $600, and you can go out and buy stuff for your family if you have them. You know what I mean? So there's complexities. What I'm looking to do here is not pick perfect, pick a year that doesn't deviate too much from where we're at, from the standpoint that people didn't really get the chance to kind of really hash this out the way I think they should expect. And so,
and for me, looking at our two biggest competitors for employees, which would be the city of Grants Pass and Jackson County, as far as closest to what we are facing with competition, who we steal employees from, and vice versa, they both are on composite flat rates, where everybody's got the same coverage, and this is the amount that's it costs them. And they have two systems at Grants Pass and one system in Jackson County, a couple systems, but essentially every employee pays $50 a month, and they all have the same coverage at the same cost. They also are spending about $2,200 an employee a month, so they're paying more. But everybody, no matter what your status, is the same.
I would rather not debate that right now.
No, I'm just saying, as far as competitors,
No, we need to.
Yeah.
We don't want to do it right now. We don't have anything that looks like those kinds of systems here.
No.
And we're not. I don't think that we have an appetite to try to eat that apple right now.
But not one of these options are flat. They're all tiered. And I'm just saying that at some level we need to look at the flat like we currently have as well.
Let's work off of this sheet, because I'm not interested in talking about anything that isn't on this sheet. I think we're at the 11th hour.
This sheet doesn't even have what our current stuff is, though. And so no matter what, this is recommending we change something, not just even stay where we are.
I think people have expressed a need for some balance to accommodate the costs. So if we didn't have that trajectory, then we should have provided in the questionnaire the status quo of keeping exactly where we are at 966, or
the inflationary was, yeah.
Whatever.
Can I ask a question, because I'm a non-starter here? Where are we at right now? What's in employee only?
So we have, regardless of whatever you pick for the non-union, we have a flat rate. So it's 966, no matter what you pick.
966.30, right?
Mm-hmm. And the inflationary is the 1014.
Yeah.
Which it would have gone to this
year. And then what is presently an employee?
Nothing. They're all.
They're all that level.
They're all 966.30, right?
Yep.
Yes.
No matter what, doesn't matter whether you're employed with whatever.
That's what.
And we are trying to bump these other categories up. If you use 966 as a starting point, in D and E leave the employee only the same at 966, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it bumps up the rest of them, gives them all a little nudge. Employee family, on D, employee family, we're going to pay, instead of 966, we're going to jump to 1520?
Yes, on that plan. Now, I think a big thing to consider is, what is the cost of family coverage? So even at 1520, an employee who is choosing that and covering their family will pay about $200 out of pocket to have medical and dental.
Oh, damn. Excuse me, I should have said that. But, okay. And we're doing this because for retention?
The
attraction
issue
and retention?
There are a number of employees who would like to cover their family that our current structure, it's not affordable. It costs them $600 a month to cover their families.
Or more.
And so the genesis of this whole discussion is, I'm concerned about the ability to recruit and retain people who would like to have the option of covering their family.
Well, that same concern is reflected in AFSCME and SEIU and what they settled with. And historically, we have been more or less parallel with what we've been granting to the unions or through the negotiations, so that the non-union doesn't fall behind the union benefits. So you can see that even the unions, the last couple ones, the SEIU, AFSCME, they negotiated higher rates for their families. So because they recognize the challenge of trying to get them recruited and retained.
But if we go with D,
mm-hmm.
then actually the employee only is getting more than AFSCME and more than SEIU. So how long before they come back and say, well, I want that too?
At least 3 years.
Well, AFSCME has a three-year contract, SEIU has a five-year contract.
But what came out of the vote was them saying they didn't want to have less than they currently had.
Right, so the 966 is the bottom line for, according to
where
the
they currently
non-union
are.
People all said.
No inflation.
They didn't want any?
They voted for the C.
For D?
C.
Because
that's the inflationary level where we would have gone this year under inflation.
It's also $117,000.
No, it's $117,000 over here, not $117,000 over where our current level is.
How much is it over where our current level is?
Well, A is about a 6% increase over our current level.
And insurance doesn't say the same cost from year to year anyhow, so that's why you have an inflationary level.
So item C, I would say it costs $117,000 over what we expected through our budget of an increase.
Okay.
And where does that come from, general fund?
it comes from all the various departments that the employees are part of. So if you're in public health, it comes out of that
budget.
They're
in every program.
Yeah.
It's what?
Every program has
so it's no one department...
employees.
Yeah. No one department will take this big hit that any non-union employee, it comes out of their department. We did look to see, there are a few departments that budgets are very tight. And the question was, with the expected move from some people have cheaper cost insurance, employee only, they said they would be interested in moving to family more expensive. We did look at a couple of the departments that have very tenuous budgets, and that projected move isn't likely to happen in those departments.
If I were to choose one, based on what I've found out more about this subject than I really ever wanted to, but now I'm here, I would probably go something pretty conservative, but and have a discussion in a year from now. But not having the time to do it, it's really important, I think, to maintain where we're at, and we have a conversation, but do make a small adjustment in where we're for those people whose costs have really gone up. So I would probably be leaning towards an E, of maintaining where we're at with the singles, making an adjustment for...
What did you say, D?
E. Isn't Edward?
My name.
Well, I did not know that.
One of them. I've got two.
Sir Simon Edward. Here. Esquire.
Gabriel. Yeah, so E is where I've kind of bridging the gap between this expense. I don't think it's perfect.
I don't think that I'd be okay with E for this year, but I think there's a lot of conversations that need to happen and and looking at options.
My goal was to try to make this a $60,000 purchase to keep people at a reasonable level, $5,000 a month. It's dispersed over every single program has these staff, so it's not as though one is having a hit. And then, but, 75 is in the margin, and it's an estimate. It may not, people can elect. There might be singles who are choosing single, but would really like to do a family, but they choose not to because it's too cost prohibitive. It's $600-$700 a month. But if you put it within the margin, they may. So we don't really know. I don't think anybody's gonna opt out of any one of those more expensive coverages to a single on this plan.
Okay, if you were employee and spouse at 1075, what does the whole program cost for that person? Is it $1,600?
It depends on what they pick. Depends on what they pick.
Still going to cost them money.
Right. It depends on what they pick in what regards.
There's real expensive plans and cheaper plans. I would say the average that it will cost employee plus spouse for medical and dental at this level is somewhere between $100 and $150 a month.
Out of their pocket.
Out of their pocket.
So I had one employee bring up that, keep in mind that employee spouse, employee family has a second potential income available to them with a second adult in the house. Whereas employee child is one adult, employee only is one adult potentially for income. So even though the costs are more, the eligibility of workforce is more as well.
I'd be careful with that because now you're blaming somebody for having an employee spouse.
No, I'm saying this is something employees came to me and said, take in consideration. It's not apples to apples that you're comparing here.
Never going to be.
Yeah.
It's never going to be.
I hate getting into that. I mean, I hear what you're saying, that we have to, that we're having that discussion. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm employing
that's,
you.
No, that's why I said I keep it flat. But the cost is here. And
I think I was the driver, but getting us to the 925 when we first started here in inflation, I have a philosophy that, but the problem is you're dealing in a philosophically perfect world, but yet people have to live and they've got coverage. Mm-hmm. And some of the people who are, they're not compensated. And what makes me feel a little bit better about spending this relative to our competitors who are spending outrageous amounts
twice
of money per month, as much. We're doing a heck of a good job at keeping these health costs lower. you know what they were talking about, their rates not going up? You know why your rates aren't going up? Because you're already paying through the nose for the coverage you're probably getting right now. That's, I didn't say that.
Well, I'm not in favor of it going down. So that means A and B are out, as far as I'm concerned. I don't want the 966 to go down.
A, B, and F then.
Big burden?
Yeah. F went down a little bit too, so.
And F went down, so I'm not interested in those, because I think the single person, you know, 966, that's what we've always been paying. That's fine.
I was actually considering on E and the family of going closer to, I was saying $300 a month for helping them out, but we have a $1,450, and I'm not sure where that, how that's calculated.
On average, that would cost probably $250 to $300 out of their pocket.
Which is
a lot better than they have now.
Employee family just would be getting a $486 a month raise. $84, excuse me. Employee family under the E. 966 to $1,450.
Yes.
You were starting at a flat, non-inflationary, or what?
I did not require a non-inflationary. The inflation is part of Costco up. It's there.
We don't always offer that, but
true.
I hear what you're saying.
I at the same time, I think a lot of work needs to be done on the next year. I think that there's something too that consensus was reached at, of the options provided. Is there what we're offering similar to?
A little rushed, but
yeah.
What I want
they didn't
make sure
go for the highest
we,
level.
Whatever we do here,
yeah,
they understand that all of this is at play.
Absolutely.
That this isn't a locked-in starting place from a foundation. I mean, I won't be here, mm-hmm. but if they start negotiating it, you know, for the family plan, I mean, well, we're getting $1,450 right now. We don't want you to change anything. And the people are getting $966.
Yeah.
You may not get 966. Look at these other coverages of 870, and that totally provides you health care as a single person, and that's maybe where it should be, but the year isn't, negotiate that right
did
now.
Did you get an email from Sarah Garceau Wright on her response?
I did.
So I think she blind copied each of us so we could see her response, and I think her response was to point. Not going to, they were all essentially the same, it's just a matter of employees or the employee only is the only one being impacted with less. Everybody else is getting more.
Okay, but I'm okay with staying at 966.
No, I'm just saying what her email said. And then the other one was so extreme more that how do you go there? When you go to the group and how they were voting, they didn't go to the extreme. They were trying to be reasonable. Our non-union group is trying to say we want to be, but don't hit us in the pocketbooks either.
I agree, but I didn't like the idea of putting a vote on a vote. I was looking for a recommendation about what was impacting people, and I don't mind if, you know, we don't invalidate any kind of other election based on the voter turnout. People were given opportunity to do it. It wasn't as perfect, and I totally get that, and we were trying to make it better, and so that wasn't totally wrong, but I want to caution against, you know, the idea that people set up an expectation because they're not getting what they're, I'm not going to be able to support that. That was outside of my ballpark budget. Shooting for 60, looking at 75 makes sense, and maybe if we don't need to keep deliberating or debating, if you're satisfied, I think Commissioner DeYoung has said that doesn't make the singles go down. It provides a little bit of bridge for people, and with the expectation y'all are going to work on this next year.
Why the 25 versus 75 for employee spouse, employee child? I mean, I guess for me, and the other two options are the same, going down by 50 on the one.
It's a $24,000 thing for no improvement in the ability to cover.
Well, and I'm wondering, is it cost? You said it's the same benefit, but is it the same cost to them for what they're paying? Or is it with the children they're paying more? I'm going to go back to you got a spouse.
What I'm looking at is what are they paying for the benefit? Mm-hmm. So if you drop that by $50, it's about the same level of benefit and the same cost out of their pocket.
If we're looking, spouse is more expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
The premium is higher for employees.
Than employee.
Okay.
Than employee child.
Correct.
Right, because the child's going to be healthy.
But a second spouse is potentially another income where a children is a greater expense.
Although there are, I know people who are married who pick employee children because their spouse has an employee only.
Yes.
I mean, I know
that. I hear you.
We have people who are married and have kids that elect all four options on the particulars of their family.
But then if we looked at it from Commissioner Morgan's perspective, the employee spouse has the potential for both of them to work, so therefore,
well,
I wouldn't either.
I was just asking why this one's the same, this one's the same, that one cuts down. We have a group that.
That was the rationale.
Yeah.
Those plans are typically a little.
I mean, there's really two things I looked at. One is I'm trying to save some money, so by dropping it, that saved, I think, $7,000 or $8,000 or something like that.
If that's the only thing that's changing between, 15, 20, that's what I'm
looking at. 15, 20 to 40.
And the family,
I took some out of family, and then I took some out of employee children, and that way the employee children and employee spouse have about the same benefit despite the cost.
Employee children is cheaper than employee spouse.
1075.
Because the child is not going to get the spouse.
I was just thinking.
Okay. So E does make sense.
And I'm not in either of those categories, so I'm not.
Well, and it tempers it a bit, too.
No one's talked to me about that. This is the first time I've seen his numbers.
Well, that's a really important thing that we don't reference where we're coming from. It is not about us at all.
No, I'm just wanting to say if it's costing, who's got an easier way of paying?
Potentially.
It's not necessarily, but in the grand scheme of things, I got a single parent with a kid. I got two adults. Yeah. Who's going to have more money? Neither. They've all spent their whole paychecks. They're all broke. But...
Well, and if you wanted to do E but leave employee children to 1075, you could just cost a little more money. Instead of being 75, it's more like 80.
Where are they at currently?
Everyone's at 966.
I like E all the way around because I think, employee child. You could say, well, I've got daycare involved in that, so it's even worse. You know, I'm going to have my potential to make money even further down.
But that's what I was just saying, is the other ones all had 1075. It's the first time we've seen it go to 1025. But the rationale is if the cost for it is no different, they're affording at the same level. Otherwise, I would have just said keep E with 1075 on both.
Fiscally, it means nothing. So just let's do that. That's done. And the EF at 1450, that should be probably more of a debated, but I think we're fine for buying it for a year and moving this discussion to an appropriate place where we're really putting all options on the table and we're not nickeling, you know.
Well, and this structure
may
not be what the committee recommends at all. There'll be a lot of different potential options. We'll do a comprehensive benefit analysis of not only our comparable counties, but also our local entities.
Right.
So we'll have, 11 or 12 different entities to look at. This is what's done not only locally but regionally. And then, so we'll have a comprehensive analysis for next year.
As fiscally conservative as I am, and that conversation is never going to be good for us. I think we have to have it because you can't operate in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
But we only pay more when we start looking around.
Sure.
But that's not necessarily bad. Healthcare has undergone extensive changes in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, the ACA is just a major, major change. So, and we're going to have more changes in another couple of years. So, I think it's time to look at it and to try to study the various and sundry ways that they offer insurance and benefits.
Well, I'm happy with E right now. Mr. Morgan, what do you think?
My recommendation was to keep ES and EC the same.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, go to 25 on both then, you said?
No, 75.
Oh,
yes,
right.
That would be, yes.
Anyway, keep it the same. I can do that. That's a very great idea, 25 apiece. So we save even more. Okay, so you want 75, 75.
That's okay.
No?
Can we do that?
I'm not going to get into that one. You already agreed to the other one. it is going to trying to make it so people can afford, but at the same time, you are looking at
a flip side to that
$500 difference between employees' benefits.
A flip side to that is if employee and children is under the structure is a better benefit than employee and family. And if it's, by putting it to 1075, you incentivize people to make that choice instead of employee and family.
Is that employee and child or employee and children? Because wouldn't
yes.
an employee with children be an employee with family?
No, because they're not covering their spouse.
So EF means you have a spouse and kids. EC means no spouse, just kids. It could be 20 kids, but
yeah,
it's just
kids. Yeah, you
can
have 20 kids. One spouse and 20 kids. And it
Are we making a decision today?
I would prefer a decision today.
I would make a motion that we approve the employee only at 966.30, that the employee spouse be at 1075, the employee children be at 1075, and the employee family be at 1450, with an estimated cost of roughly $75,000. I don't know that that $50 a month. It's going to make anywhere between $75,000 and $80,000. I think it's about a $5,000 or $7,000 difference.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You going to vote no now?
I was thinking about it.
Go for it.
We'll be
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. At 2:39.
Well, good. All right.
Post date to vote. No, we're not. We got it.
Yeah, I appreciate, okay. I know this has been very stressful and challenging. I appreciate your patience.
But it's all good debate. I mean, you're dealing with people's lives here, and I think the debate was healthy. I really do. I appreciate Commissioner Morgan had a lot of reservations about it. And one of the things is, to keep it in mind, go back to the reason for this is retention. We don't want to lose
appreciation
employees.
Of every good employee that's hard to recruit.
That's yeah. right. It's as
Absolutely.
Far as I'm concerned, we have to have something to in our bin to be able to offer
yep.
that's reasonable. You know, well, heck, because then people move around just for the benefit package. Period. Mm-hmm. A lot of it they don't care what they get take home. That just buys groceries and pays the rent. They're just looking to
margin.
Some of them are.
They're just looking. You know, I got to take care of my family first. I don't care if I have two nickels to rub together at the end of the month.
They work for the benefits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving forward.
Okay, moving forward to item number 3, additional subject. Any other questions on the item 2? I think we're okay. Thank you, both of you.
Can you send out your updated color spreadsheet,
yeah,
green and yellow, to everybody with the numbers?
Yeah.
Additional subject to matters from commissioners, ORS 192.6401.
I have an issue that's come up for us. So there's a state grant that the Illinois Valley community is applying for. I'm looking to sign a recommendation to endorse this proposal. And I apologize, I'd really like Kenny Houck to kind of come in here and go over the entire project about what it is that they're trying to do to improve the signage on the Illinois Valley Caves Highway, Highway 46 going to the caves. But they've got several instances of improving the U.S. Forest Service has improved and the park system. Signage going up there to highlight the park. It's historic, it's classic, it's really cool. I don't know if you've seen it, I'm sure you have, you've been up there. It's right before the Ivy Fire Station, you know, down by the Visitor Center, right out of town. They're looking to do some other things with signage on that. It's been a long-term project that they've been working on, made good positive progress so far. The first phase is requesting $5,000 out of the money generated from the revenue of the sale of the Cave Junction building. And this was already earmarked, I believe, for $25,000, but this is just phase one. And so we've already tentatively approved that budget. What they're looking for is really just a letter of support from the county saying, yes, and we endorse this plan. It's going to improve, you know, the tourism, all of that stuff. And so I have a letter drafted. It's drafted for the board's signature, but I didn't want to presuppose. I draft one for my signature. I'd like to see you guys signing on to this as well, but if you need more information, the apology is that the grant application is due tomorrow morning, and I frankly learned about this on Friday, so it's kind of a hurry up and get it done kind of a deal. Kenny says he's happy to come in and kind of talk about this, but.
So the $5,000 was earmarked in the county sale portion of
Probably,
that
yeah,
MOU,
was,
but we haven't signed the MOU yet.
The MOU is different.
Okay.
That was just for that project of security lighting and that sort of thing
mm-hmm.
on downtown. This is a different thing. There's nearly $300,000, and I think the first initial request by that committee that came together was $25,000 for this project. They're only wanting the first five to get this planning and initial.
Does that leave 20 in there though? Was there earmarked for
them? Lots of money. If you could move this margin to closer to an inch, I think there's room. Does that make sense? Broader than a half an inch. Then we'll have that ready to sign.
I have no problem. I haven't read it, but it sounds big.
This is the language, same thing. It's just my signature. It's a good letter. Here's a letter from the Forest Service to the same effect, endorsing the grant.
They're going to put $5,000 in too? Sorry.
I think they're just.
Money they have left over
to burn.
No, I mean, because one of the questions came up, Jubilee Park, the project that they're doing in partnership with the Duck Derby, that they have to come up with a local $20,000 match. And they were like, well, is the county going to put any on that? I said, have you asked the city? It's a city park. So I just was curious if this group is asking.
Well, my opinion is that, you know, we have in the MOU to sign off on all of the planning, development. You know, I wanted to make sure that we have an opportunity to endorse that this isn't just going to be, you know, a bunch of money covering administrative costs and you actually don't get anything out of the project in the MOU. But it's really their resources to kind of redistribute over priorities that they deem. And if that's where it should go, there's still money that can be, you know, allocated from that sale to stuff. So I like capital, but you guys can do what you want with it. I want to be able to point to something and say, we built that. That's, and I know that those poles and all that stuff is a huge deal. Growing up as a kid, they were old then. And kind of a
well, and not safe to have a pole in the outfield, yeah.
When people are going for the long, and they do. They yeah. go all that way, because I've seen people's
those
windshields.
Softball tournaments,
I've seen people's windshields kid.
I just want to make sure that we are, and if that is a community need, is it one that we look at? Is it, they haven't had a formal ask? I was going
to. Yeah, we'd want to run that through that committee and say, well, that's who's doing the cost benefit. Because everybody who's using the field is going to say, well, that's the highest and best need because I don't use anything else.
Yeah.
But people who are broad in the community are going to be able to.
Yeah, I like that.
So if you endorse, we can have the full board.
Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of it.
Great.
I think that shows to the people of Cave Junction that we're all behind him.
Yeah.
They need a little pat on the back once in a while. They're struggling out there.
Okay.
So, Commissioner Morgan, do you have anything?
Nope.
For the additional? When we had our meeting yesterday with ODOT, one of the things that we asked about was signage for panhandling out at exit 61. And they told me that we need to have an ordinance, a county ordinance, stating that we don't want the exchange of money or anything else from pedestrian to motor vehicles, and then they would take it from there. So I thought a letter, first I was told, all we need is a letter stating that that's what your intentions are.
So you were
are.
Told that first?
Yeah.
I don't
called
agree
out there,
that we
I said,
have
well, I think we just
ordinance.
Need a letter.
And the ordinance isn't enforced by ODOT.
We need an ordinance, and if we have that, it'll be state police. State police's jurisdiction, which in my mind I don't know what the ordinance would read, but I think we can look up what the city's is, and we can look up what Central Point has one.
They have an ordinance.
Roseburg has one.
It's usually posted, so
and it's posted right on the off ramp.
Okay.
But those are incorporated.
Thank you. Perfect.
So the county needs to do it for the unincorporated areas.
So you have a copy of them and make
no, but I've got one coming.
Great.
And then we'll just, I just wanted to let you know that will be forthwith. We've got a lot of people out there that say, you know, when are you going to do something about that? And I keep saying, well, first it was just supposed to be a letter, now it's got to be an ordinance. And I thought a board order might even do it, but the two guys yesterday said, no, it needs to be an ordinance because we brought it up.
It feels as though I've taken off ramps and they've got it posted there, but I actually.
Did you take off Central Point going to the airport? Central Point has one, Medford has one.
Those are all cities.
Those are all cities.
What county has one?
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know of a county that has one. I can't answer that for you.
that's the part that I'm questioning as far as city municipalities.
I don't know that city or county, actually. It's a state thoroughfare.
It's a state thoroughfare, but the state, it's not a state law to not hand money back and forth. It has to be where it is, and it's in the county, I think.
Well, let's look
into it. Oh, that's legal.
I'd hate to go through the process and they, you know, wasn't necessary or whatever else.
Let me ask legal, or I'll ask George and...
We need to ask our people.
So I need to see where we need to be, where it needs to be an ordinance, and then they should be able to produce that.
Yeah, well, let's look into it on our side.
Okay, anything else? Commissioner Morgan?
Pacific Power is going to be getting a hold of us about setting up a presentation about the smart meters.
Smart meters, that'd be swell.
I said yes, thank you. And can I go from there?
Okay, Commissioner O'Hare, anything else?
Let me think for just a second. Yeah, okay.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned at 2:51.